Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Yes, the sound works tonight. There's not been a restart, and I hear from Odyssey that they were working on this. There were some people who had a new problem, which is not the live sound, but people had difficulty hearing they weren't hearing the sound in the last show after it was live. And a guy from Odyssey contacted us and said they're working on it. They know it's going on, but they haven't figured it out yet. But tonight it seems we have no issue. So let's get started. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I've been planting potatoes today. So now most of my greenhouse is planted. My onions are planted. My potatoes are planted. The last work I need to do is fill the raised bed and plant the herbs and spices. Spindly Opinion says it's cool that they are getting back in contact with you. Yes, they're very responsive. The Odyssey team makes me think of the early internet, where there is a human approach to it. They want it to work, and so that's so much more encouraging than the Twitters and the YouTubes of this world, which are absolutely unreachable. Spindly Opinion says Odyssey probably gives you the chance to talk to a real person, unlike YouTube. Exactly. And that's so much more encouraging for the future, because the alternative internet is rising. Here I have a news item that I just caught, so it's not in my list of news item that I wanted to cover, but here it is. Andrew Torba says Stanford University just put out a study showing that Gab is exploding in growth, and noting that we've already been banned by everything and they have no idea how to stop us. Lol, lol. Look at the growth of Gab. In terms of number of posts, we are almost back at peak Gab, and we're basically at peak Gab if you follow the area under the curve and you smooth this out. We are doing very well at Gab. I hope that this creates a future for the internet in which Gab is sufficient to reach everyone you want to reach, and in which you don't forgo something by not joining Twitter. That would be the best situation. New normal since 50 LBC. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, take the LBC, bro. Wonderful. I'm keeping all the LBC because I'm not selling LBC in the current market at such a low rate, but it's great to be stacking LBCs. And I will sell this in the next bull run. Dark Urza says, JF, I'm just a regular user who had issues watching your live streams half a year ago, and an Odyssey support agent got on a voice call with me to try to figure it out. this is amazing, because this is how you fix it for everyone. It's you have to talk to the guy who's experiencing the problem. It's not enough on the internet to be working for 70, 80, 90%. It has to work all the time, and you figure these things out by talking to the guy who's experiencing the problem. I find these guys are amazing. They are going to search who suffers from the issue, and they will talk to him. I read the article from yesterday, Catalytic Synthesis of Polyribonucleic Acid on Prebiotic Rock Glasses. So I have no further comments than what I've already said yesterday. It's exactly as I expected. It shows that, okay, you got a certain type of rock that existed at the birth of the planet Earth, helps with the synthesis of long chains of RNA molecules of about 200 nucleotides. That's great, but it's not the beginning of life. Life cannot have emerged from this alone. We have to, through the theory of phenotypic revolutions, we know that we have to explain how did proteins get in the game. But what this creates is perhaps the early Earth was had chains of RNA randomly generated, and it was kind of a forest of RNA molecules. Not a living forest, though. It was an environment in which the protein life form may have grasped some of these chains or influenced which of the nucleotides would be added onto the chain, and that would explain the first replicator tango or the first self-replicating protein eventually benefiting from these chains of RNA molecules. But it's not a discovery that can be used to make an argument that we know what the emergence of life looks like, because that's non-biotic chemistry, basically, what they've done. Disclose.tv says Elon Musk says he may withdraw Twitter takeover bid, accuses the platform of material breach for withholding data. So we are currently in a debate on the internet with the question that I've titled the show with: can Elon Musk demand more bot analysis? The pro Elon Musk people are saying he's entitled to check the number of fake accounts before he does the purchase. But there are a lot of people who take the side of Twitter on this, and I've seen a 4chan article about this. People claiming that Elon Musk has waived his right to due diligence in the contract, and that therefore, you know, due diligence would be kind of being able to check what I have to check. And you can write a contract in which you don't waive that right, which means basically you are still not committed to buying. But in the case of Elon Musk, he signed a part of this letter, this contract that he is engaged with Twitter. He has signed something that says that he waives his right for due diligence. That means he cannot come after the fact and say, oh, well, I didn't know this and I have to check this, and I now understand that there's misinformation there, and so I change my view. Because the whole contract mentions a $1 billion space for kind of a deposit that Elon Musk does. It's not a deposit in the sense that he didn't give the money, but it's a promise that if the deal goes to shit, there will be $1 billion available to grab from Elon Musk by Twitter. Of course, they would probably have to fight this in court to get it, but eventually they could get it. So, does waiving the right to due diligence keeps Elon Musk from demanding a bot analysis, demanding more data? Here's the argument by the team of Elon Musk. Despite having waived his right to due diligence, there's another part of the contract where it is said, Mr. Musk is entitled to seek, and Twitter is obligated to provide information and data for, inter alia, any reasonable business purpose related to the consummation of the transaction. So Elon Musk says this little line here, any reasonable business purpose related to the consummation of the transaction, gives me the right to ask for data, which is necessary for me to gather loans, to attract people to be able to hand me the money so I can buy Twitter. I think it's a good argument. I think it's a 50-50 case where a court would land on this, because Twitter, on their side, they are arguing, well, Elon Musk is, you know, any reasonable things related to the consummation of the transaction, that would be something like bank account numbers. That would be something like, where do I send the check to? It really linked to the transaction. But Elon Musk has a broader reading of this wording. And he says, no, the transaction includes me speaking to partners and attracting them to give me some loans. And they, for giving me their loans, they demand that I give them a guarantee on the number of bots on the Twitter platform. I think that both sides could win. It depends on the court, it depends on the judge, it depends on the jury. Whether this little line must be read one way or another is up to random as far as I'm concerned. Does it relate to the consummation of the transaction when we're talking about loans and about soliciting loans to make the transaction? It's an interpretation. It doesn't seem obviously invalid, but it seems that a lot of people are taking these events as indicating that the transaction is less and less likely to happen. And I think that's certainly what I retain. They wouldn't go at a public conflict like this with public letters at the SEC if it wasn't that Elon Musk is wavering on his desire to purchase Twitter. And that's, of course, because part of the cause of the current drop of stock market value is precisely Elon Musk basically announcing publicly that he's going to sell so much shares of Tesla and so much other things that the whole market is crashing, partly due to people trying to time when will the Elon Musk shares convert into Elon Musk cash so that he can buy Twitter. But because there's the stock market crash, suddenly $54.88 per Twitter share is an enormous amount, and it's harder to reach for Elon Musk. It looks like it costs more and more. Just that says so many shares, not so much shares. All right, thank you for correcting this basic English thing. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the regular chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. So do like the new normal and send your super chats through Odyssey. They have a credit card option. It's wonderful. As an alternative, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. You can both send paid super chats or free questions. Justed says, it's a Mexican standoff between Musk and the Twitter leftist. Who will win this war, JF? Can you even say Mexican, as you avoided that word on last night's show? I can say Mexican. Just that you are so annoying in terms of giving the worst possible reading to everything I do. The thing is, yesterday we were talking about the California drought, and someone, I don't know if it's you, Just that or someone else, made a comment that I felt the need to answer to, but I didn't feel like the Mexican aspect of this comment was relevant. And so I read the comment without the word Mexican. And you say, oh, JF is being censored by Odyssey. We cannot even say Mexican. No, it's not this. It's that as an intellectual, I'm not going to bring red herrings. Bring red herrings into the conversation that I don't need to bring. The fact that they were Mexican didn't change anything to my statement, didn't change anything to the analysis. It's the fact that they are in California. It doesn't matter if it's Mexicans or non-Mexicans. It's that there's too much people in California. Sigidam Sengis says, JF Senglish is usually better than the average American or certainly British person. You got that right, mate! Elon Musk's Twitter deal is now a high-stakes captcha puzzle. That's how it feels, really, because we're talking about the fine print, the fine print of a contract, and whether Elon Musk can get away with not buying Twitter at this point and not paying the $1 billion, it's a tough situation. It would be dramatic to me if this whole story ended up with Elon Musk being judged by a court of owing $1 billion to Twitter, and the Twitter CEO and the Twitter leftists just laughing their ass off, and, oh, we got $1 billion from Elon Musk. That would be quite a dramatic ending to what is originally a hope for the restoration of free speech on Twitter. I hope that the deal goes through, because if the deal doesn't go through, something like that will be happening. We have a woman here sharing some info.
Hey, Ali, show me your ring.
Oh, here.
Now, tell me what you do for a living.
Oh, I love my husband.
And how did you get that awesome job?
Well, I became a better human being, and I became feminine, and also, shocking, submissive. So that was the secret.
So what are your tips to women that want to be a housewife?
To embrace it. It's an actual job. You just can't get it in the public or private sector. Like, you need a man to hire you for it, but that's okay. Because if you think about it, you submit to your boss, who makes you clean stupid shelves at your retail job, right? Like, wouldn't it be better if you were cleaning your own shelves at home? You know what I mean? And your boss wants to sleep with.
Well, she goes on to say, and your boss wants to sleep with you, but in a good way.
Okay, Ali, show me your
somehow,
ring.
Somehow it
sleep
blocked.
With you in a good way. In your boss.
So TikTok is also unable to serve video? Is that what I have to understand here? TikTok is not in the video business, just like Twitter.
Wants to sleep with you in a good way. In a good way.
And where do you meet these men?
Well, I think women should work for the men that they want to pursue. I know that sounds crazy, but it's really easy. So if you think about it, like, you want a lawyer, right? So then you should be a paralegal. Or if you want a dentist, then you should be a dental hygienist. But these are considered, I guess, high value status professions. But I think that's a really good model that not enough women utilize. Because women will bully the woman who is the secretary that married the doctor, okay? But who has the last laugh? Like, her in her McMansion with her husband who's hot and the baby. Like, that's who has the last laugh.
Excellent commentary here. TikTok is it's very interesting. You get some quality stuff on there. You get a lot of leftism, a lot of crap. But you get people who are trying to direct women toward the right path. That is wonderful. SEC. One moment. SEC preparing historic overhaul of market structure, making retail front running virtually impossible. And one of those will believe it when we see it updates. Moments ago, the Wall Street Journal reported that the SEC, having been lambasted for years for doing nothing to contain the rigged criminal casino known as the stock market, is preparing to propose unprecedented changes to market structure as soon as this fall, which would make it virtually impossible to front-run retail orders. That is very important, because the phenomenon that's happening is you have a bunch of companies that are... What is the SEC? It's the it's basically the financial regulation arm of the government. It legislates on what can happen and cannot happen on the stock market. So that is a very important change, because what's happening is you have companies that are presenting themselves as offering stocks, like Robin Hood, for example. And Robin Hood is so interested in the information they gain, apparently, that they are willing to do it for free. They don't charge you a fee. And that's because they're interested in the information flow. They are interested in knowing what's hot right now. And they are interested in knowing as early as 1 second into a mimetic movement on the internet, they want to know, will this lead to more buying of Twitter, more selling of Twitter? They want the information, because if they can get that information and act on it before they pass your order, then your order will find itself at a market impacted price that is higher or lower depending on what you're targeting. So, for instance, you would buy Twitter. They know you're about to buy Twitter. They know there's 10,000 people about to buy Twitter. They immediately go to buy the Twitter stock for themselves on the market. And then they sell it to you at higher price. And then they sell their own version of it at higher market prices because they could expect the market movement that you and the collective of other people on the internet would cause. So that is a practice that is currently common. The SEC plan would be to basically make this illegal because every order would be sent to a common market. I don't know the details of the mechanism, but somehow you, for buying a stock, you wouldn't, you would be sending it to a central entity that then allows competition so that various brokers could compete to be the one buying the stock for you or selling the stock for you, which means it would go to the final market faster, and whoever has the best fee structure, whoever offers the best service, the quickest with the best fee structure would win the market, rather than those like Robinhood who have kind of hidden interests that are counter to yours as they handle your order. Ariel Soares says, I use Robinhood myself, so I need to be more careful. Absolutely. And it's not necessarily that you're going to get fucked on every decision, because at some point their AI is probably not down to the point of fucking each individual with this trick. And so if you have a relatively small amount, you're probably not super affected by any of this. However, the bigger your amount gets, the more interesting you get for this predatory system. And also, even if you have a small amount, you have to think, well, that through your small amount, you are contributing to a system that is not in your advantage. It's like paying fees. It's like paying taxes, really. You're paying to the hostile entity so that it can better oppress you. Sigidam Sengis says, pride flags everywhere in England at the moment. yes, I believe it's Pride Month. Pride Month for most of the world. However, in Canada, they extended it to 2 months, right? In Canada, it's Pride Month for 2 months long. Some bullish and some bearish stuff. JPM, head of equity strategy, believes that the fundamental risk reward for equities is improving as we enter into 2H, only days away. Part of the bull story is that we have passed two peaks. On the policy side, we have potentially passed peak Fed hawkishness for now, with a leveling off in bond yields, no further curve flattening. And two, a likely peak in inflation on a year-on-year change basis. So yes, that's the great question, is whether we go into official recession territory right now, or we get that last massive peak happening, bringing us to ridiculously high levels. The reason that the fact that this peak could happen led me to keep my bitcoins, because I wasn't satisfied with the current rise. So I think either I'm going to sell at a surprise peak in a couple of months, or I'm going to wait for the next halvening, because it's coming quick. I mean, we're in 2022. The accumulation phase for the next halvening of Bitcoin will probably start very soon, if it's not started already, you know? Because the further you get in the history of Bitcoin, the more there are people trying to front run the bull run earlier. And so who knows, we could be at the bottom of Bitcoin with the drop to 28k. Or maybe there will be a further drop. I don't know. I don't care. I will sell my Bitcoin at high price because I know the interest. Tarrio, the Proud Boys leader, Enrique Tarrio, and top members have been charged with seditious conspiracy. Over January 6, the Justice Department on Monday charged the head of the Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio, and four other leaders with seditious conspiracy in the January 6 U.S. Capitol attack, escalating the criminal case against the far-right extremist group. Tarrio and his co-defendants previously pleaded not guilty to an earlier slate of charges. So, I don't know what to think of this. I've never been super sympathetic to Enrique Tarrio. I don't know what is the goal of his organization. Because his organization gets treated as a white supremacist organization, but it's clearly not one. Because it's not hiring people on the basis of race. People mention that he glows. He definitely glows having been the head of this group and attracting young men to a kind of lifestyle where you are more likely to get killed, more likely to get arrested by Antifa or by Antifa sympathetic police in places like Portland. And I think he admitted on Tim Pool having been some kind of a police agent or something with relation to the federal government before. Accusing people of being fed is overdone on the internet, so it's not that I want to do this, but in general, I don't know intellectually what this guy brings. He is basically a social networking guy who is leading a group that I don't know their purpose. I don't know what it does. Perhaps the group had some kind of comedic meaning under Gavin McInnes, you know, who had kind of started this group as a joke, but at this point Gavin is not involved, and so I don't know what survives other than a bunch of tough boys who want to put themselves in situation to be defending themselves. Gray says Gavin McInnes was muscled out by the feds and they put him in. Yeah, in a way you can see this as a takeover. I don't know. Yeah, it's very bizarre what's happening. And the Timcast coverage of this, you know, having this guy as a guest. Why? What is the importance of this man in the modern conversation? He really can't say. He doesn't seem to know what his organization does. It's a group of kind of masculine solidarity mixed in with self-defense against leftist aggression. But the first rule of self-defense is avoid conflict. The first rule of self-defense is don't run to conflict. Don't run, for example, to Portland, which is what he has done and which is what they've done. So I don't know. As far as January 6, it will all depend on what kind of text messages they can get from him. Was he indicating in text messages that he had the intent to slow a governmental proceeding? If that's the case, maybe he's going to be found guilty, and you wouldn't need much for him to be found guilty, especially if it's some kind of Washington DC type of jury that gets selected, and they're all Democrats and they're all very alarmed at January 6th. That being said, my impression is that he didn't do anything on January 6th. What happened is he got caught with some weapon charge before the event, many days before, if I remember correctly. He was then ordered by a judge not to be present on January 6th, so he wasn't there. But seditious conspiracy, perhaps he has engaged in some communication that perhaps the Fed have, that would justify these charges. I don't know. I don't care. I think it's probably going to be unfair to him in terms of a process, but that's the current situation. Silver Spider says, when are you going to start the JF Boys? Well, never. I'm not a guy of labels and of groupings. I'm a guy of pure intellectualism, and each individual is responsible to gather truth for themselves. And I'm a man of argument. The only thing that regroups the boys listening to us right now is the fact that they're listening to us right now. And we may be bound by similar rational processes, but we don't have to be bound by communitarian identity. That's the way I see it. Here's my resignation letter from Georgetown University, says Ilya Shapiro. So this guy got caught by the Office of Institutional Diversity, Equity, and Affirmative Action for a comment that he has done on Twitter, where he said, his tweet criticizing President Biden for selecting the Supreme Court justices by race and sex had a significant negative impact, requiring appropriate corrective measures to address his objectively offensive comments and to prevent the recurrence of offensive conduct based on race, gender, and sex. So his big crime against the regime is to have said President Biden shouldn't be selecting Supreme Court justices based on race or sex. That is considered a sexist and racist statement, but of course, not surprisingly, by the Office of Institutional Diversity, Equity, and Affirmative Action. So even the centrist, you know, the centrist Martin Luther King position that so many center-right people a la Charlie Kirk love to adhere to, this position that, hey, we shouldn't select people based on race or gender, we should select people based on their character. That position is now an extreme, objectively offensive comment that requires corrective measures. How's that going for you, centrist? Did you buy peace with the left yet? You didn't. Because you're getting in trouble with your university offices when you now are adopting this basically leftist position. So no matter how much kneeling you do to the left, they will come at you, and they will increasingly allow themselves to come at leftist and centrist for not being far left enough. Now, this guy decides to resign because, although the Office of Institutional Diversity had concluded that they didn't have the jurisdiction to kick him out because the events didn't happen on campus, they happened in a tweet. But he said, basically, although you didn't fire me, you put a mark on my back, making it impossible for me to do my job. You've set me for failure, basically. I agree with his reading. I think he should have left the university before, like I did, before the crowd comes to me and tries to hang me, because I knew that as a provocative thinker and a contrarian, that day would come where some office comes to me and starts inspecting me and investigating me. So I left before. In his case, he left rather later. But he left because here's what happens. This office says, oh, we can't fire you, but that would need corrective measures. And the next time you do it, we will do something. So when they do this, you end up with all sorts of young people who are students at the university, basically being on your case, asking you questions to try to get a little racist statement or sexist statement here or there. and ultimately they're gonna get something out of you eventually by harassing you that will make you look bad, or that will at least be used by them to make a complaint to the same office. So you have a target on your back when an office of the university points you as potentially racist or sexist, even when they say we can't do anything. The children, the students are going to come to you, and they're going to come to you indirectly also by rating your courses as bad, and they'll do all sorts of complaints, and the administrator of the university gets to these reviews and he's like, oh my God, this professor is a big problem. He got 1 out of 10 from all of my students. That's not good. It's how the politics of the university work. They get the students at you, and they try to make you fail. Ariel Suarez says, Cockery once again has proven to be a losing hand, JF. Yes. Justette says, threats of hashtag cancellation for nonconformity will abound forever now. Yeah, which is why we should withdraw from the system. Don't play the game that has been set for you to lose. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson survives a no-confidence vote, calls win decisive. Boris Johnson has led Britain out of the European Union and through the COVID pandemic, but is facing pressure over high energy and food costs. The politicians were considering to kick him largely due to Partygate, the fact that there was a party that violated the COVID rules, and it was all a party with the very people of the government that have enacted those COVID rules. Okay, I think it would have been a very bad decision to get rid of Boris Johnson just for this, but so he's saved and he has won. Washington Post suspends David Weigel after sexist retweet caused public spat. So this guy makes this okay, low-level joke. Every girl is bi. You just have to figure out if it's polar or sexual. I.e., every girl is either bipolar or bisexual. Not a profound joke, but okay, yes, I get it. It's a play on the words, and it basically means every girl is crazy or bisexual. Which, when you think about it, and that's why the joke doesn't work really, there's probably a big overlap between the girls who have bipolar disorder and the girls who are bisexual. It's not like you're one or the other. It's that you're probably both. But then someone retweets, a journalist just retweets this. David Weigel retweeted this. So at this point, you are retweeting a joke, but David Weigel works for the Washington Post. And then a woman comes in and says, fantastic to work at a news outlet where retweets like this are allowed. So she's offended to be working at the same company that David Weigel, who retweeted this, works to. That's how you get someone suspended. I find this all extremely overdone. For a retweet, we don't know the retweet, what did it mean? Perhaps he's retweeting in the sense, oh, here's a good attempt at a joke. Or perhaps he's retweeting even to denunciate the joke. But no, just the retweet got him suspended. From Washington Post. That's the current state of cancel culture. Paramount is hit with a Top Gun Maverick copyright lawsuit. So there was a guy, apparently, who wrote an original story called Top Guns in 1983. It was an article and the storyline for the original Top Gun film was based off the article. Now, here's what it is. So, Paramount has bought the copyrights to the article, so the right to produce movies from the article story, but their right expired in 2020. And now the guy who wrote the story alleges, well, his family alleges that filming for Top Gun Maverick was not completed until May 8, 2021. So he's saying you had rights up to 2020, but you've now been using your rights outside of the signed windows. I think they have a good case. Now it's all going to be at the detail of the contract, and because Paramount is saying, well, we had largely finished the movie in 2020. We just kept the movie on the side and we released it later, but it was largely finished. Now, there's a good question here about what is a copyright? Is it in the production of the movie or the distribution of the movie? And I'm sure that the family will be able to make the case that some degree of editing has been happening and that ultimately the final product was not ready in 2020. And so there would be a copyright valid lawsuit. And I guess what will happen is that this family will be able to put its hand on some of the commercial success of this movie, perhaps get a couple of millions of dollars for the breach of their copyright. I think that would be totally fair. And anyways, Top Gun has been grossing so much money from the box office. They certainly have the means to do so. This is a very interesting, this will be our last news item, a very interesting story. It's from May, so I'm a little late on it, but it's very important. Is subject 1231-2982 the key to proving Pfizer vaccine trial fraud? The story of Augusto Roux. This is fascinating. So this guy is a lawyer, and he decides to subscribe to the Pfizer trial early in the whole Pfizer vaccine against COVID because he has a mother who suffers from some lung condition, and he wants to be protected as early as he can. So he ends up being one of the early people receiving the vaccine. And he finds himself at the hospital because the vaccine causes a major pericarditis, inflammation, and growth of fluids around his heart. And he goes to the hospital. Turns out okay. It's a big symptom, but he survives it. And then he contacts the team of Pfizer that's in charge of recording all of the adverse events. And he tells them, I had a pericarditis. My impression is that it's coming from the vaccine. The doctors think it's coming from the vaccine. And the Pfizer agent says, okay, records everything that he says. But then on his form, writes, pneumonia induced by COVID-19, unrelated to the vaccine. So you have the big lie here. The big lie was operated by the subcontractor of Pfizer who were running this trial and actively hiding events that other people agreed, other professionals agreed were caused by the vaccine, but they didn't want to see it. So they lied about it and they wrote on their form unrelated to the vaccine, pneumonia or something like this, which was not even the symptom that was diagnosed. And it's not what this guy reported to Pfizer. It's not what the hospital thought. It's not what the doctor in the hospital thought. So it's what Pfizer had to think to lie, to hide the truth from the people, the truth that this vaccine has severe effects on many people's heart and through myocarditis, pericarditis, and other issues. And of course, they tried to hide it under the rug, and the rug, yes, was COVID, Ariel Suarez. They blamed it on COVID, when in fact, this guy had a negative test showing that he didn't have COVID at all. He had a negative test, and they wrote on their paper, COVID-induced. This shows you that when they come at you and say, oh, a 60,000 subjects trial. Yeah, how did you run it? Were the people running this economically incentivized at lying? Were you economically incentivized in terms of how you were processing the data? Are these people agents that are hoping to get a future contract from Pfizer? So they give back good data because Pfizer will come back and hire us again if we give good data. That's the current system we're faced with. A big lie about a vaccine that was then imposed on many people through coercion and the force of the state. We must combat it and we must never let this happen again. John Drake says, I'm surprised we haven't had any whistleblowers coming out of these pharma companies. Well, the people at the base level of these pharma companies all are bound by NDAs. If they come out, they can lose their house. And the company pays them a good salary so they can afford a good life. And they don't want to lose this good life. And they remember, oh my God, I signed this NDA. Whatever I say about the trial will be held against me and I will be liable for $200,000. I'll lose everything I have. So that's how you buy the low-level people. The high-level people in these subcontractors that run the experimental trials, they are even worse in that they have the same NDAs, but they also have the business interest of, hey, if I can get the next contract from Pfizer, if Pfizer can be satisfied by my work, they will select me again in a year from now when we run another test on another vaccine and I'm going to make millions. That's how the system works. It's all a big fraud. Deadstar sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, what are your earliest memories of independent political thought / philosophy? Well, independent is a big word. Independent is a massive word. Because are you ever independent? I mean, no matter what your political or philosophical thought is, there will always be something that preceded it, and you're probably not the first to think it. So, but some degree of self-introspection and questioning, my earliest memories would be probably third grade of elementary school, meaning in the French system about 9 years old, where I was seeing that my elementary school teachers didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. And I was an asshole about it. You know these trolls that are annoying in the comment section and they're like, sir, you are not correct on this detail. Let me... I was a little bit like this. And I was calling out their scientific errors and challenging their evaluation of what people were saying in the class. So much so that I remember in fourth grade, so more around 10 years old, I was so rough with a teacher. I don't even remember what was the thing she got wrong, but she got it wrong solidly, okay? And she's like this, you know how elementary school female teachers are. They're pretty naive, they're young, and they don't know much things. And there I was at 10 years old, saying in front of the class, you know, you got this wrong. And she says, you know, Jeff, I want to talk to you during the recreation moment. I'll be researching this. Perhaps you're right. And so the class goes all out and I stay inside. And she does some research or she checks something. It wasn't the internet back then. I guess what she did, she looked up something in a book probably. And she says, Jeff, you're right, but can we make a deal here that you're not going to bring this up again in front of the class? Because please understand, it's not that I want to hide that I was right, that I was wrong. It's that I'm responsible to educate all these children here in the class. And if they stop believing in me, it's going to make my job much more hard. And I'm not going to be able to teach anything anymore. A fourth grade elementary school teacher, female teacher, said that to me. And I was young at the time, and so it didn't strike me like super. I wasn't like, no, I will say to everyone how you were wrong. I didn't have this kind of heroic attitude. Instead, I said, oh, yeah, sure, let's leave it aside and let's not talk about it to the rest of the class. So I was more filled with, because I was young, I was more filled with the inebriety of the ego of having won, you know. It's like, oh yeah, my teacher is so naive that not only is she wrong, not only can I prove her wrong, but she asks me to shut up about it. That's like the top win you can get at 10 years old against an adult teacher. So that's I guess if you were whatever the subject was, I think it was in maybe biology or something. Not that I was particularly a biologist, but there was something deeply wrong, like ridiculously stupid that she had said, so much so that I knew that it was wrong. Justed says, just like we correct JF here if and when he makes errors. But see, that's ultimately those childhood moments are so foundational to what I became later with the public space. The whole idea of the public space is never again will the teacher be able to hide. And so when I think back of this moment, and it didn't strike me consciously when I chose the name the public space, but I've always had this deep desire to lay it out on the public space. And in the process of laying it out, being forced to address the critiques, address the super chats. And so when I saw YouTube rise with the super chats and everything, I saw, here's a system where the teacher can't hide. Here's a system where I cannot have that private convo with the super chatter saying, let's not mention this to the rest of the regular chat. Here's a system of full accountability. And if you were to boil it down to the early events in my life that has led to this, it's probably this, and then another event was my aunt, who's a great person and everything, but she didn't have this correct attitude toward children. And when I was something like 5 years old, sitting on the counter of the kitchen, I was insisting that I wanted to mash the potatoes. And she said, no, you're too young for mashing the potatoes. And she mashed them herself instead of showing me, instead of giving me an opportunity to get it wrong, you know. And this has struck me when I was young. It was like a big injustice to me. Why can't I mash the potatoes? Even if it's my first time, I should be able to mash the potatoes so that I get training. So these two events are probably the most foundational in my desire to have a fully accountable public review of intellectualism and intellectual questions and scientific questions. Because from then up to my adult life, it was like this all the time. I got into PhD and it was the secret anonymous peer reviewers just shitting on your work and not having the balls to even reveal who they are and keeping your work from being published while not even assuming their own identity. The secrecy of the system is where corruption births. And those were the original, probably the earliest political thoughts that I had. It wasn't so political, as you can see. It started from an observation that something was wrong in the dynamics of the social world. But it's still very much who I am. I'm still pissed at not mashing the potatoes, and I am astonished that a teacher would want to hide her errors to keep a credibility that she does not deserve. Thank you.